For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Wednesday morning service of December the 28th, 1994, of the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Billy Schaffner is the speaker for the morning.
The rest of this portion of the day belongs to you and Jesus. So come and minister to us the word of the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Glenn, and good morning to all of you. What a privilege it is to be in the congregation of the Lord. We've come to hear from the Lord. We've come to see what the Lord is doing. And we have seen that He's doing great things.
Amen.
Great things. You know, I was thinking as we were sitting there worshiping and praising the Lord, I was just thinking what all the Lord might have done in yesterday afternoon's deliverance service. And I thought about as Dr. Noel began to call over all of the diseases and all of the infirmities and all of the spirits, you could have just had what you wanted. I mean, if you embrace the word that was going forth, you could have what you wanted. And I was reminded of the day that Jesus walked into the synagogue of Nazareth and opened the scripture. And he began to read from Isaiah 61. Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Any poor in here? I mean, he come to tell you, if you was poor, this gospel is for you. And then he began to say, to bind up the brokenhearted, to deliver the captives. And do you know, was not one single person in that congregation responsive to that word? They probably walked out of there. They could have been healed. Their heart could have been set free. If they's poor, they could have got a hold of something that would have given them prosperity. I mean, it was available. And listen, I don't know what God may have done for me yesterday evening, because I was listening, and every one of those things that I knew about that Brother Noel mentioned, I grabbed it. Now, they may have been some of those that I didn't know anything about. I mean, but some of those diseases and conditions that were called out, I said, that's me. I'll receive that. And you know, last night I slept.
Hallelujah.
Didn't wake up. Didn't get up one time through the night. I heard that word. Kidney trouble, I think. Bill knew how to put that in more medical terminology than I know, but anyway, I thank God for what we have heard and seen. And you know, when God's people meets together and moves into the presence of the Lord, anything can happen.
Amen.
I mean, anything that's written is apt to happen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Right.
I want to share with you some things this morning that the Lord has given me that I trust that will be a blessing to you. We're facing the end of an age. We are right on the threshold of a brand new dispensation. Now, I'm not teaching new age in the occult realm. I'm talking about God's new age. I'm talking about God's kingdom age, that we are right on the brink of stepping into. And I believe that all of the prophecies, many, many of the prophecies, tells us that at this time, in this time frame that you and I have been privileged to live in, there is a kingdom harvest. There is a reaping of the harvest, of God's harvest. I believe it's on the agenda of the Holy Ghost. I believe the Holy Ghost is just waiting to do it.
Hallelujah.
And I believe that God is right now, not tomorrow, but now He is preparing a people for the harvest. We may have already begun to enter into the harvest. I don't know. Many of the nations and many of the countries that are already gathering in. But if I know my spirit this morning, I want to be a part of the kingdom harvest. I've lived several years with an expectation, with a hope that has been gendered by the Holy Ghost to see a consummation, a gathering, a coming together of God's people, to see the loose ends that are dangling, picked up and gathered together and brought together in the Lord. And I believe that we have a picture, word picture of this kingdom harvest given to us in John chapter 4. And I'm going to be talking from that chapter, be ministering out of the words, John chapter 4. First of all, I'd like to go to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5. And read maybe just one verse. This is when Jesus was sending the twelve apostles, when He was sending them out. This is what He instructed them to do. He sent forth the 12. He commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of Samaria enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And that perhaps was only one time that Jesus commanded His disciples not to go to the Gentiles, not to go into Samaria and minister, because this was the age for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But if you have noticed, in John chapter 4, He broke that principle. You see, He can do that. He can break the principles of the laws of nature. He can break the principles that has been established from eternity. He is Lord. When He got ready to go to Samaria, He went. This was not the only time that God overstepped dispensations. If you know the Word, you know that in the day of Noah, grace was not predetermined now for 2,000 years, but Noah found grace, and through that grace from God was instructed to prepare an ark for the saving of his house. And when you find the Lord overstepping dispensational lines and truths, you will find it is implemented for salvation, for saving His people, for bringing His people into Him. I think any other place down through the history of the Word of God, you'll find that true. But now, He is, in chapter 4, He is going into Samaria. Now, this morning, I don't know how far that I'll get into this thought, And so I'm going to give you my outline before I start preaching, because I'll not have the time to minister all of it. But I'm going to give you, if you are taking notes and want to remember, I'm going to give you 7 requirements for a kingdom harvest. Jesus set this forth. He broke dispensational truths, even the command that he gave to his disciples. One day he went into Samaria. He did it purposely. We'll find out why. But here is 7 requirements that I believe that the existing church is facing today, that if we listen closely to what the Lord is saying, if we choose to spend time in the presence of God, we will hear. Brother Jack and I were just conversing a few days ago, and we was talking about the potential of this age that we live in, that the Word of God is at our fingertips, that we've had the greatest potential of any generation, and if we fail, we have failed further and greater than any other dispensation. But we're not going to fail. God don't fail. Everybody say, God don't fail. I still believe he's got a plan.
Amen.
It's marred a few times because people wouldn't respond, but he didn't give up on it, did he?
Yeah.
He's still working at it. And I'm not saying this in a prophetic sense, but we just might be the people that gets to see it consummated.
Thank you.
In some of your hearts this morning, you have that expectation. These are the 7 requirements. As I was looking at this chapter one day, just searching out the Word, these things begin to just pop up into my spirit. Number one, to have a end time or a kingdom harvest, there must be a sovereign move of God. There must be a visitation of Jesus to set it in motion. How many of you know that we don't know how to do it? Man, when Brother Jack was ministering on the ministry of the eunuchs last night, and he got to that part where, and I just thought maybe this was one of the highlights of the message, that the eunuch can't reproduce himself. And when we get to where we can't reproduce ourselves, we will be getting into good shape. Because that's what we have done. Over and over and over again, we have reproduced our abilities, we've reproduced our intellect. Say, it may be a time that we're going to have to be checked. God lets his people go so far into a situation, and then he puts the brakes on, and then you and I start moaning and groaning and saying, God, why have you stopped us right here? Let me just tell you, and this is prophetic, that he has something greater for you. When he stops you in the pattern that you're moving in ministry or whatever it is, he has something greater for you, and there will be dilemmas in your life. And there will be pursuits that you have followed perhaps for years, and you've thought it was right and right on. Right in the midst of it, the Lord will shut it down. And you, as you begin to inquire of the Lord, he will move you into a new dimension of faith, word, his presence, and he'll just keep trucking. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Down through the years that we've ministered, we've had a lot of good ideas. And a lot of those good ideas, I told everybody that this is what the Lord said. And I know none of you ever done that. But you know, we put a lot of things off on the Lord that he didn't say. And there has been a lot of good ideas that I've had and just knew that it was going to develop, but God didn't say it. It came right out of the mentality. It came right out of the desire of what I wanted to see done. And I can tell you truthfully today, as I look over the works of my hands that the Lord has permitted me to do, nothing exists in my ministry or in the works of the days or the years that I have ministered except those things that were birthed from the Spirit of the Lord. And when the Lord births a thing, He nurtures it, He bottles it, He cares for it, He snuggles it until it becomes into an existing element that can produce His plan and will in that particular thing. Then when you see that done, you can stand in assurance. You can say, this is what God birthed. This is what He said. He was tired too. He was weary too. He'd walked as many miles as they had. But when it come to performing the work of the Father, something began to strengthen Him. And I'll tell you, it'll do the same for you. Try it. How many of you can remember those nights right after the initial experience of the baptism in the Holy Ghost that you could stay up till 12 o'clock every night and shout the victory and get up at 5 o'clock in the morning? You remember that? You know where you were getting your strength from? Yes. Well, I guess, I don't know. We don't do that so much anymore. I'll leave that to be too. In verse 35, Jesus said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you that the fields, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He is in a Gentile Samaritan confined. Samaritans didn't believe what Jews believed. They wasn't considered as Jews. They was not considered by the house of Israel as Jews or the house of Israel. They had their own religion. They had their own religious location. But now Jesus is saying, look on the field. They're white now. Don't detain it. Don't procrastinate. The fields are white now. Did you know, beloved, if you interview ministry today from various denominations, they'll tell you the time is past. There's no more revivals. There's no more miracles. Now, we are so prone to believe that God is moving. We know that God's moving. We're looking for an outpouring of God's Spirit upon all flesh. But everybody don't know that. I'm telling you now that everybody don't know that. They need to hear that. Why do you suppose that Jesus said to His disciples, had He heard them in conversation saying, well, looks like nothing's going to happen down here. 50 people that thought they was preachers. And they'd let them have services. They'd give them a service. And they had a good testimony. But we didn't know how to teach them to move into their position and place in the Lord. And we're still falling short of that in many of our churches.
Amen.
Developing and maturing those people to do the work of the ministry. That's what I'm called to do. I'm called to show you and tell you how to do it. I don't know how I got there, but that's very vital today because really, a lot of times ministries fold because there's too much responsibility thrown on one or two people.
Amen.
Please don't let that happen wherever you worship or serve. Get in there and just do what the Lord is saying, because He's still directing. He's directing the symphony. It may not sound like a symphony sometimes, and it may even all the notes come together in harmony. That's such a beautiful thought. That's the desire for my work and my church and my... See that working together as a symphony. Not a note offbeat, but just flowing and exhorting and with that beautiful unity in the Lord. Praise the Lord. So there was a compulsion in him to go to Samaria. What was there? A harvest. A harvest was there. Now let me drop this thought into our heart. I don't know when I wrote this down, but anyway, I want to drop this into your heart. Because the reason that he was compelled or led by the Father to go to Samaria was because of a harvest and to leave us a record of harvest. Remember this. Jesus had to change the life of one person. You remember this. You say, well, I can't do anything. I don't have a gift. I don't have what brother or sister so-and-so has. Jesus had to change the life of one person to bring a harvest. 40 or 45 of us, or maybe more, I don't know. But just think, one transformed, changed life brought the harvest of an entire city. That ought to provoke us to prayer. That ought to provoke us to commitment and dedication. If Jesus could change the life of one person that brought revival and harvest to an entire city, what can he do with you?
Hallelujah.
Can you not do the same thing?
Yeah.
If he gets the same response from you? Sure. That's the way he's going to do it. I doubt if he'll just do a whole house full of people that way at one time. I think it has to start like in the sanctuary, just a trickle. And as it begins to flow, it begins to gather. Hallelujah!
Glory!
Oh, wonderful Lord. The living Word of God will motivate and project you into another day, into another area of God, into another relationship or a deeper relationship. The Word of God will propagate your life into another generation. It's going to take the Word of God. It's going to take the motivation, the Word of God in your spirit to motivate you to move on in God. Now, little elements of the gospel can put you on a spiritual high. But you know how long highs last. Not long sometimes. I know of people that was like receive the seed into shallow ground and the blade sprung up quickly and man, you thought they was going to outrun everybody. I've seen people get saved in revivals and for about a week or two they'd make the preacher look like he's backslid. I mean, I'm serious. They would suggest and recommend things to me for me to do. They could tell me just how to do everything. And in 2 months, I couldn't find them. That's the reason that I couldn't receive their recommendations. You know, I kind of like to look at a plant. I do some gardening, and I kind of like to look at a plant for a while. You see, there's a lot of things that hits the church, that puts the church into a high. But when the high is over, they don't have that word planted in their spirit to hold priority over television, over the sports arena. I get so up absolutely forfeiting their time and relationship to the Lord because of a ball game. Paid communication and fellowship with the Lord. That's wrong. Make something priority over. And I'll tell you, our nation, the Western countries and culture, That don't make it right. And because everybody's doing it, that don't make it right. You have to decide. You have to make choices as to how you're going to commit your life and relate to God. There's going to be a people in this age that's going to lay down their life for the Lord. And I'm not just talking about just laying down their physical life. I'm talking about their social life, their natural. And if God can ever find a group of people that'd be willing to do that, then he'll tell him what he might do through them. Praise God. Didn't take many of them, did it? For the people to say that these people have come into our city and they're turning the world upside down, or they was turning it right side up, wasn't they? Praise God. Okay, we're going to spend just a little bit of time in the second requirement for end time or kingdom harvest. And I want us to read that. Jesus came, and here in verse 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about 12 o'clock, about the sixth hour. It was noon. It was the time that everybody's supposed to have been home. It was the time that everybody's supposed to have went out already and got their water. There cometh a woman. Now, I want to give an example here, and if you can't agree with this, just forget it, okay? There came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Now, when I read this and the Lord impressed this message into my heart, he made me to think that the Samaritan woman was a type of the Gentile church. And the more you learn about this woman, the more you're going to see a mirroring of her life in the present day church. Now you're going to have to read this, because I'm not going to be able to tell you all about it. But anyway, she came to Jesus. It was her custom to come to the well at 12 o'clock in the day, at noontime, simply because of existing circumstances. Everybody else had done been, went back. I think that she was sort of excluded from society. I think that she was sort of a loner. And she came to the well, and of course, Jesus knows just how to approach a situation. Give me a drink. Man, this shook her up. I mean, here's a Jew asking a Samaritan and a Samaritan woman to serve him or give him a drink. Oh, this was a sovereign visitation. This was a sovereign move of God. Hallelujah. For the Lord would say unto you, O house of God, I will visit thee. Yea, I will visit thee in a sovereignty of my character. I will come when you are not expecting me to come. And I will be Lord, and I will move. And I shall speak to your heart and unveil your understanding. For that which you have learned has not been altogether of me, but layer of layer on layer has been placed in your hearts by man and tradition and with your own understanding and your own interpretation. But when I visit, saith the Lord, I will remove the dross. I will come with a mighty presence. And there shall be a burning
as of a burning fire that will burn the chaff. And I shall leave the pure grain. And I shall leave a knowledge of my presence and a knowledge of who I am. Of who I am. And in that day, in that hour, the chain shall be taken. The chain shall be made. And you shall know that even by the promise that I have made unto my people, that the Lord thy God has visited thee. And thou shalt say, even as the Samaritan woman said, thou shalt say unto those of thine associates, I met a man like no other man. And this man told me whatsoever I have done. Now, I'm not prophesying anymore. I'm telling you that if you think for one moment that we have known him in anything near his fullness, you're deceived. We're deceived if we think we have got a lease on what God is doing today. If a man thinketh he knows something and knows nothing, he is deceived. I believe that God's been so gracious to us. He's let us know him in many areas and dimensions of his life. But I feel like for an end time consummation and harvest, we're going to have to know him.
Amen.
Now we'll skip over, way over into the chapter. And we won't read it. We'll just paraphrase it. When those people came out of the city and came to where Jesus was, they said to the woman, we believed because of your words. But now we see him.
Oh, yes.
Does that do anything to you?
Yes.
We heard your word through her. We've heard your word through the church. She come running back. Look, this woman who had been a social outcast and a put down for no telling how long, 2 hours later, she went to the well, she met Jesus. 2 hours later, she ran into the city and addressed the whole city, and they heard her. You know, it makes a difference. Did you ever think people wasn't listening to you when you was talking to them? It makes a difference being with Jesus.
Amen.
It will make a difference being with Jesus. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, just purpose to get you some prime time and get in his presence. And that's what you need to do. And you don't have to, it don't have to be no great anything. Just get in his presence and let him know that you're there to love him and to fellowship with him and to wait in his presence, and the Holy Spirit will begin to do something in your life. This woman, which was a type of the church that was an outcast from society, I mean, they just tolerated her. That's about what they've done to the church, world. I mean, they've tolerated us. They've let us stick around. But when he sovereignly moves, and when he begins to tell us, Brother Jack, I've got water that if you drink of this, the well will be in you.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
You come here to this well to drink. You see, no doubt that woman thought this well was the best well in the country. This is Jacob's well. And you've seen that all of your life. You've seen people that will sit in a dead church pew, and if you try to move them, they'll say, well, Mama sat here. My grandfather sat here, and I'm going to sit here. I've had people to tell me that, almost verbatim. When you try to move them out into a life, into a life of life, they like their tradition better. They like the old better.
No one that had just drank of the old will say the new is better. He's trying to the woman that the well that she's been drawing out of all of her life is not even compared to the well that's going to be in her if she'll just drink.
Amen.
I mean, we didn't just get the cup. We got the well.
Yes.
We got the artesian. We got the living water. It's in us.
Amen.
And did you notice when Jesus walked up to the well, or when the woman walked up to the well, that Jesus was sitting on her well?
Yeah.
Did you know that's what happened to this preacher about 40 years ago? Jesus just kind of moved into my life and sat down on my well that I'd been drinking out of all my life. And he wouldn't let me get into that well anymore. He gave me living water. I began to see in the Word of God, by the expressions of God's people, the baptism in the Holy Ghost. I didn't know nothing about the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And I began to see that, and I began to hunger for that and desire that. And Jesus just sitting on my well, just, he wasn't giving me no ease, no rest. And I became so thirsty, so hungry, and I began to purpose in my heart to get in his presence. And one night, about 10 o'clock, sitting right out on the ground, out under the stars in an open air, an old open air meeting, with string lights strung around. And we was having just a outside meeting. I was praying, begging, pleading, God, give me the Holy Ghost. Man, I was a good Baptist. If anybody gets the Holy Ghost, I ought to get the Holy Ghost. He didn't care what I was. He didn't care where I came from. And a brother came by and stopped and looked at me and said, Billy, do you believe you're going to receive the Holy Ghost? And I thought, well, what kind of nut is this? I've been seeking for the Holy Ghost 3 months, every night, in a meeting. But listen, he said, do you believe you're going to receive the Holy Ghost now? And a light came on. You see, my faith was not a now faith. It was a faith, I'm going to receive it tomorrow night. But I just looked and said, yes, I believe I'm going to receive it now. And did you know those few words made the whole difference? Did you know what you speak out of your heart makes a difference?
Amen.
Do you know that what you confess makes... I believe I'm going to receive it now. And I just kind of went back to my praying. And I began to speak in a heavenly language. I wasn't excited. And it was such a beautiful language. It was such a clear language. And I did that for about maybe 4 or 5 minutes, and then it dawned on me what had happened to me. I had received, or at least the Holy Ghost was manifesting himself in me. And then I had camp meeting. Oh, I come loose. That's been 40 years ago. It was about 11 o'clock that night. I wanted to go to everybody that helped me pray and tell them I'd received the Holy Ghost. It takes a revelation of living water. Jacob's well won't do. Denomination won't do. Tradition will not work. But once you drink of the living water, he'll put the well in you. And from out of that well will flow life. From out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And so, there began to be a change from a knowledge of living water. He said, if you know the gift of God and who it was that said unto you, give me a drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water.
Amen.
And the woman said, sir, I don't have anything. You don't have anything to draw with. I don't see any bucket in your hand. He couldn't figure out what kind of water he was talking about. You have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Whence can you give me this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? See, now if you don't know, these kind of things are existing today in the present church, we're going to miss a lot of people. Now, they may not be Samaritans living in Samaria and worshipped at a mountain, but it's just they've done, in reality, they've done the same thing. They're saying, we've worshipped here. And you say in Jerusalem is the place to worship. And then Jesus began to deal with her personal life. He knew how to do it. Now, Jesus will deal with your personal life.
Amen.
And let me just say this and conclude. He just simply said, go tell your husband. He knew just the button to push. He knew just where she was living. And I believe he knew that she had a willingness to change. She said, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, that's right. That's right, you don't. Because you've had five husbands. And the one you're living with now is not your husband. You see, if you parallel this lady with the existing church, you're going to find that there are so many characteristics the same. The church today, the conventional church today, has many heads, has many husbands, multi-husbands, many people controlling, many authorities. Isaiah 54 says, you have one husband, the Father. Amen. He dealt with that. She confessed that. And then she forgot her water pots. Something had happened to that lady. Something's happening to the church today. Something's moving in the church. There is another dimension and level of God's presence that's moving in the church. And the day will come when the church will deliver a word that will bring a harvest in your city, in your area, in your community. Praise God. Brother Glenn, I want to thank you for asking me to come. I have thoroughly enjoyed standing and speaking to you. We pray that we have said something, ministered something this morning that will live on in you and provoke thought in you and provoke study and prayer and intercession in you. Because, see, we're looking right at the end of the age, and the harvest has to come. And it's going to come through the church with all of our hang-ups. And we got them, man. I mean, we got hang-ups. Every once in a while, I'll run up on somebody, will tell me something, I go, whoa. But sure enough, I've got a hang up somewhere in an area. And Jesus just forgives me. When I repent, move on, he's always here. That's when we repent. We need to repent. We need to repent for ourselves, our families, our nation, our authorities over us. This nation needs to repent. Praise God. Father God, this morning, thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. We pray that you will just let the word of God, that part of the word that can be fruitful and productive in our lives, just seed it in our hearts and spirits this morning. Cause us to embrace it. Cause it to grow up. To bring us into that glorious harvest that is spoken of in your word. In Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.